Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
It's my privilege to share God's word this morning, so let's pray together as we come to the word of the Lord. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for all that's taken place in the service today. Thank you for the sense of your presence. Thank you for all the prayers that have gone forth. Thank you for the meditation we had just now in communion, the praise and the worship, the opportunity to praise you together. Father, we just want to thank you and bless you. And now we come to your word and we pray, Holy Spirit, will you come and speak through me, minister to each and every one of our hearts, and if there is even one here today who doesn't know you in a personal way, pray that this will be the day they'll come to a saving knowledge of yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, at this moment in time, as you know, we're looking at a series called Limitless, and we're basing that around a verse in the Message paraphrase in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11 forwards, and I'll come up on the screen. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives, live openly and expansively. So it's a call to us to open up our lives to all that God has for us and all that he wants to do in us and through us. Last time that I spoke, I mentioned the fact that many years ago, Diane and I went to see a movie, and it was a thriller. And there was a line in it which says, "What would you do if there were no limits?" And I remember that really spoke to me at that particular time. I was sitting in a cinema and heard that, and I thought, wow, what would you do if there was no limits? And it was as if God took that, prophetically spoke to me. And as you know, for many years, it was a subject of a meditation on our website. As it really, really spoke into my life. So far, we've been looking at limitless faith, limitless peace, limitless joy, limitless love. And today my privilege is to speak about limitless wisdom. Wisdom's mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. And boy, are you glad I'm not going to mention every single one of them today, but I have got a number that I do want to mention. And wisdom is something that God wants to give us and for us to pray for. He wants to give us that. The Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, James 1 and 5, he should ask God, and God gives it to us, and he gives it to us liberally. And there's both worldly wisdom and there's God's wisdom. There's two different types of wisdom. And I actually have benefited from both. People have said wise things and spoken wise things into my life, and I've benefited from them. They're not mentioned in the Bible. By the way, I think it's some folk think it. If you build it, he will come, mentioned in the Bible. Just for you today, it's not mentioned in the Bible at all. But there are some great principles that people have shared with us that are not in the Bible. And I'm thankful for some of these pearls of wisdom that have been given to me. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I've loved that one for years. Look before you leap, my mother used to tell me. If you won't listen, you won't learn. Gerald Bean used to say, some of you might remember him coming along with his ventriloquist dummy called Gregory, and that was one of his big things. If you won't listen, you won't learn. And I think as a famous United States president said this, keep your eyes wide open before you get married and half shut afterwards. I thought that was really good. Pearls of wisdom. More hurry, less speed. My mother used to say that to me. And dress for the occasion. I worked in a clothes shop when I was at school and my summer holidays. And that was the dress for the occasion. For you joiners and builders, measure twice, cut once. Great advice, isn't it? And cut your coat according to your cloth. Great pearls of wisdom that have been given to me down through the ages. And there was an old minister friend used to say to me, he used to say, if your output exceeds your input, then your upkeep becomes your downfall. And I thought it was really good. If your output exceeds your input, then your upkeep becomes your downfall. In other words, you don't spend more than you get in, or else you'll be in serious trouble as a result of it. I bought a book this year, and I got a couple for presents for people during this year. It's called the Harvard Business Review, Everyday Wisdom for Exceptional Leadership. And I read this book regularly. It's really, really good. And if you're in leadership, there's a lot of principles there that's really, really good. And so there's, if you're a business person here today, maybe some of these will be a blessing to you. One of them says, teams are interconnected systems of preferences, skills, experiences, and perspectives. To lead such a complex entity well, you must develop your internal self-awareness. Doing so involves reflecting on your feelings, beliefs, and values. And it goes on to make the point, it's likely we'll only see our own perspective of truth and fail to see the perspective of others. And that's why we need that. Just because you're bright, there's another one, doesn't mean you're smart. Very good. And then another one says, when you shift from leading a function to leading an enterprise, you must navigate a tricky set of changes in your leadership focus and skills. One change is becoming a generalist, which is really interesting. Made me think that one. Trust, not your title, gives you authority. Your employees need both recognition and appreciation. And develop your learning agility. Get better at receiving feedback. Be less defensive when receiving feedback. Great principles that are there. And this, just the other day, I got this in. Outdated maps may be worth less than no map at all. Reliability is a superpower. There are no side effects, merely effects. There is usually an opportunity to be of service. Silence is an option. So is leadership. Everyone who disagrees with you believes they are correct. Avoid arguments. Embrace conversations. Ask what the system is for. Not all criticism is equally valid. Imposter syndrome is real, and it arrives whenever we're doing important work. And don't try to fill an unfillable hole. And there's some great pearls of wisdom there. And I've only put out a few from notes I take and different things that happen. But I believe that God's wisdom is superior to man's wisdom. And whether the great principles there, I believe what God tells us is even greater. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. In 1 Corinthians 1:20, so where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. So there's God's wisdom, and there's man's wisdom. And we read about God's wisdom in James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, it's first of all pure, it's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no partiality and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. And one other verse about God's wisdom, Proverbs 24:3, by wisdom that a house is built. And I'm going to come back to that as well. So when I read that first passage there from James, I remember one day I read that and it really hit me between the eyes. I thought, wow, I've never quite seen that way before. And so it was the simple test for me, for all of us. Is the culture we are building, when living in our homes and our ministries, etc., that we are experiencing, characterized by the qualities we've just read? Because that's what God's wisdom is. It's peace-loving, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good deeds, sincere, impartial, etc. Now, that's a huge challenge. And we need to ask ourselves, is that the kind of culture I am building? Because it says the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, it's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others, etc. And so this what tells me, God's wisdom isn't about contention or competition, but about peace. It isn't about winning, talking about how clever we are, stamping our authority. It's gentle at all times. It isn't ever my way or the highway. It's willing to yield to others. And if our lives are surrounded by tension, contention, instead of peace, then we can be sure that's not God's wisdom we're following. Because that's what it says God's wisdom is like. So that's a huge challenge to every single one of us. And there's a huge difference between human wisdom and God's wisdom, and how much we need God's wisdom. So rolling back my life 20, 30 years ago, that I believed this to be the case. I believed this for a long time. I believe God's wisdom is superior to any other wisdom we get. And so my daily prayer for many, many years was, God, give me wisdom. That's what I want. I want God's wisdom for my life, because I believe it'll help me live my life. And if whatever I'm involved in, it will help me that on that way. And that was, of course, what Solomon asked God for. When Solomon was given an opportunity, and I'll come back to that. And the second thing I did, and was my practice for year after year after year, was reading a chapter of the book of Proverbs every single day. Because the book of Proverbs is God's wisdom to us. So we can pray for wisdom, because the Bible says God will give it to us. And we can embrace his wisdom by reading the wisdom things that he's given to us. I better move this back, because I kind of see the clock, and I'm getting carried away, so I better be good. Okay. So, there's a vast difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is facts, and wisdom is how to apply that facts, isn't it? So knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad, probably. So I collect things about wisdom. I collect all kinds of different sayings, because preaching and speaking is part of what I do. I've got a file on my computer, and if I come across good things, good insight, I write these things down, so that when the day comes that I've got to speak on these things, I've got some stuff, material there that's been speaking to me down through the years or months or weeks or days or whatever it would be. And there was an executive once spoke to Steve Robinson. He was the former vice president of and chief marketing officer of Chick-fil-A in America. And this guy was on many, many boards and did lots of things. And so this guy came up to him one day and says, "Steve, I've heard when you're around really smart people, you don't find out what they do, find out how they think. So talk to me about the language that smart people use. It's different from everybody else." And Steve replied to him and says, "Do you want smart or wise? You're around smart people, but is it smart people you want, or is it wise people?" And that really switched the light on, and he thought, that's exactly what I thought. He says, "For years and years and years, I was asking for knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge, and now what I should have been after is actually wisdom. That's what I should have been after." A dictionary says, "The primary difference between the two words is that wisdom involves a heavy dose of perspective and the ability to make sound judgment. Knowing a subject, while knowledge is simply knowing, anyone can become knowledgeable about a subject by reading, researching, and memorizing facts. What it excludes saying, but is inferred, is not everybody can have wisdom." So it's wisdom we're looking at today. The Bible's got a lot to say about wisdom and the value of wisdom. James 1:5, "If anyone lacks wisdom, we should ask God." Proverbs 4:5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or turn away from them." Wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers of a city. When all Israel heard the verdict — this is about Solomon, and we'll look at it in a minute — that the king had given, they held the king in awe, because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. "Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you." And so on. The Bible's got so many, many things to say about wisdom. And what we need today in our society at large is for people to be people of wisdom. I've read an article that says we have a wisdom famine in our world today. And the Bible says, so God himself is telling us how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding to be chosen above silver. So people want to get gold, they want to get silver, they want to get precious stones, and the Bible's saying it, wisdom is far more valuable than these things. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. And pursuing wisdom demonstrates we're looking after our souls, because it says in Proverbs 19:8, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul." So if we love our soul, if we love ourselves, then wisdom is what we need. Wisdom brings joy, according to Proverbs 3:13. Wisdom is life-giving, according to Proverbs 3:18. Wisdom is a tree of life. Wisdom gives us protection. It says in Proverbs 4 and 6, don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. In Proverbs 28 and 26, anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. Ecclesiastes 9:18, better to have wisdom than weapons of war. We're building up a picture of how important wisdom is for us. It brings prosperity. To acquire wisdom is to love oneself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. And so God gives us keys to prosperity and to success in Ecclesiastes 10 and 10. And when we walk in wisdom, we bring blessing to our family. It says it brings joy to his father, the man who loves wisdom. Proverbs 29 and 3. It enables us to help others. When God pours wisdom into our life, then we can help others with the wisdom we've received. It'll help us live longer. Whoa. Hey, I'm glad you came to church this morning. I mean, we've got the keys of prosperity, you've got the keys of relationships, you've got the keys of how to make money and how to live longer. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. Make good choices. Maybe even if we just think about health choices that wisdom might give to us. All of these things are there. So who doesn't want that? Well, I'm certainly willing to sign up for that. God's pleased when we show an interest in wisdom. Over and over again, he says, get wisdom, and I've mentioned it. And that famous incident that I referred to a minute ago, God says to Solomon one night, and you read about in 2 Chronicles 1 and 7, and that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. Imagine God saying to you, you can have anything you want. Wow, that's pretty big. That's a great invitation. Hey, Charles, God says to you, you can have everything you want. What a miracle if God was to say that to any of us. What a miracle. I wonder what you would say. What would you say if God says to you, you can have anything you want? And it goes on to say, it's a long reading, but it says later on, give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can govern this people of yours, which is so great? And God was so pleased that he asked that. He says, I've made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I'll also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings you had before, and none after you shall have the like. And so because he asked for wisdom to govern his people, he said, I need wisdom. I need wisdom from you. Because of that, God says, because you didn't ask for riches and honor and victory over your enemies, I'm going to give you these other things as well. So God was really pleased. He could have asked him for anything. And one of his legacies for us is 31 chapters of Proverbs. And the Bible's some important lessons for us from we see what happens when God gave Solomon wisdom. So there was two ladies, had two babies. And one night, while they were sleeping, one of the ladies lay on top of one of the babies, and sadly the baby died. So she got up in the middle of the night, recognizing her baby had died, switched the babies with the other lady that was lying there, and put her dead baby on the breast of the lady who was sleeping. And when the lady who was sleeping woke up in the morning, she said, that's not my baby. It's not my baby. So they went before the king, and they said to the king, this is what happened. You make a judgment and tell us what to do in this situation. And Solomon says, get a sword and cut the baby in half. And so the lady, whose baby it was, real baby it was, says, let her have the baby. And Solomon says, she's a real mother. Give her the baby. And what a ruling. What a ruling. What amazing wisdom was in that ruling. And as a result of that, people understood that God had given Solomon amazing wisdom. So Bible stories are the best stories. Great story. And given him amazing wisdom. And there's more to come. It says in 1 Kings 4, 29 to 34, now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that's on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and of all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men. And it gives you a list of the names, and it says he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005, and he spoke of trees, and it goes on to say, even to the hyssop that grows in the wall, he spoke of animals, birds, creeping things, and fish. And men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon from the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Amazing wisdom. God had given him a message. So people came from all over, and he wrote all these things. 3,000 Proverbs and 1,005 songs. Graham Kendrick, Bethel, eat your heart out, like, because he's surpassed them all. Like, all of these things, God gave him amazing wisdom. And one day the Queen of Sheba, that you've heard about, came to see Solomon. It says, when the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of the waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came, and my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me." And it goes on. She's blown away. When she comes to see Solomon, she's, wow, wow. She's blown away by what she sees and what Solomon is wisdom is and how he ordered everything. And you know, friends, I'm believing that for every church. That's what God wants. If we follow his wisdom, we don't know better than God. The churches that don't follow God's wisdom and think they know better, they're dying. But the churches that believe God and believe what he said, they're alive. Because the Spirit of God is alive. And God's doing amazing things in the world today. And so the people benefited from the wisdom. The Bible says they increased. 1 Kings 4 and 20. They were as numerous as the sand in the seashore. And they were contented. Now to get God's people contented is an absolute miracle. To get everybody contented. It says they were very contented. So they were all happy. And then they were provided for with plenty to eat and drink in verse 21. And they enjoyed peace and safety. And there was peace in all his borders during the time of Solomon. All of Judah and Israel lived in peace and safety. And that's only an insight. The benefit of wisdom. When it came to Solomon, it had all these, it had spin-offs. It ministered to everybody that came along. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Dr. Jeremiah, Bible teacher and preacher, posed a question in one of his devotionals. He says, what do the following have in common? Weavers, embroiderers, craftsmen, a shrewd man, leaders, ants, and ship's captains. And then there's a few scriptures. So you can decide what they've all got in common. You shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, and they shall make Aaron's garments to consecrate him that he may minister as priest to me. Bezalel, the maker of the tabernacle furnishings, I filled him with the spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold. And it goes on to speak about this great work that Bezalel had. Hiram, who did a huge amount of work on the temple. Now King Solomon sent and brought Hiram from Tyre. He was a widow's son from the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in bronze, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding. So the clue, and you all understood, every single one of them, the Bible says they had wisdom. Wisdom to do all the jobs that God gave them to do and to do with the tabernacle and all of that. And Dr. Jeremiah goes on to say, he says that we could say this word wisdom here in this context meant skill. And he says, biblical wisdom is really skill for living. Well, who doesn't want that? I want it. You know, and if you look at the Bible characters, who the Bible says specifically had wisdom. Joshua, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 34:9, was filled with the spirit of wisdom. David, and the wise woman of Tekoa said, God had filled it. It said, my Lord is wise. Daniel, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. And then it goes on to say, he gives wisdom. And then it goes on to say, he's given me wisdom and strength. So if you look at the great men and women of the Bible, we will find out that God's given them all great wisdom. The early church looked for that in their deacons. So they looked for men, the Bible says, that were filled with the Spirit and with wisdom. Because if you're making decisions on behalf of other people, what do you need is wisdom. If you're a dad or a mom here, an auntie or uncle making decisions, a boss, whatever, you need wisdom. We all need wisdom in all of these things. And it was said of Stephen, the early deacon, none of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. And so, back to Dr. Jeremiah's question, Who doesn't need skill for living? Who doesn't need skill for living when it comes to raising children? People have said they wanted to write books about raising children, and then they had children. Then things changed. Managing money, solving health emergencies, planning for the future. There's no end to this, the need for wisdom. There's no end to the sources from which we could get wisdom. Lots of people are telling us lots of things. I read some were very good in the early thing. But the Bible says it's a fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. So that's where we need to get our wisdom from. So wherever we need skill, wherever we need insight, wherever we need to know what the next plan is, then God holds the secrets for us in relation to wisdom. And he's given us a great book, the book of Proverbs. I mentioned it earlier. It says their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. So if we read the book of Proverbs, we will get wisdom and discipline. And I says to you, that's why I read it, because I need wisdom and discipline. And so do you. We all need it, every single one of us. And this is what it's, and even if we think we are wise here today, this is what the Bible says. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. So even if we think we are wise and we think we know everything, then the Bible says you don't really. You've got to add to your wisdom, and this is what you've got to do. So if you were to look at the book of Proverbs, somebody did this, so I didn't have to do this myself, but it talks on subjects like restraint, generosity, hard work, motives, honesty, patience, humility, productivity, dependability, temper, attitude, facts, goals, planning, boundary, proper thinking, common sense, prosperity, emotions, sowing, direction, correction, conflict, pressure, criticism, judgment, confrontation, forgiveness, ethics, ownership, ambition, listening, co-signing, responsibility, debt, saving, developing people, understanding people, and inspirational influence. So, hallelujah. I didn't write these, but somebody wrote them. But it's good. Full of good stuff. All of that stuff is there. I tell you, over and over and over again, God has spoken into my life from the book of Proverbs. Over and over and over again. All kinds of things. And all kinds of areas. Many of these it have mentioned. Here are more quotes. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. A wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. I love how it's put. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Pride goes before destruction. Kind words are like honey. Better to be patient than powerful. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. That's Proverbs 18:13 in a modern translation. Enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. Proverbs 19:2. So all of these are proverbs in the Bible. And I wonder how the relationships in our life would change if we followed the book of Proverbs. Perhaps we're those who have acted in the opposite way to what Proverbs teaches. So we might think, well, I know better than God. Well, how's it working out for us? Because I don't think it's working out all that well. For most of us, it don't go that way. And maybe today, maybe just a line from one of the Proverbs, and I've run over them pretty quickly, that a line from one of these things today maybe speaks to us today and switches a light on within our hearts. You know, how's things working out? The Bible tells us over and over again, examine our ways and find out how things are working out. You know, What's going on? What's the cause? In Deuteronomy 32:29, I read it the other day. They fail to see why they were defeated. They can't understand what happened. That was God's people. So they went through defeat. So we need to ask the why. Why is this happening? What is going on in my life, in my world, that this is happening? Is there a reason? Is there a root cause to this? And there generally is a root cause. And so we got to find out what's happening. In his book, 15 Laws of Growth, Dr. John C. Maxwell tells a story of Jerry. Jerry grew up in Ohio. He worked in a factory and he was successful, and he came to the conclusion that he would get on better if he learned more wisdom. So he decided to start his own business, and he spoke to a guy, and this guy had great wisdom in his business. And he basically said, how have you got all that wisdom in your business? And he says his secret to business was that he built his business in values and principles. And the guy says, where do you get all these values and principles for? And he said, he took them out of the book of Proverbs. And I'll tell you, it's right. And the amount of seminars that I've listened to and preachers in recent years who have used business techniques, and they're good as long as God's techniques is top of it all. So we can learn to do things better and wiser. I believe that with all my heart. But that's not the be-all and end-all. If that drives us, we miss. So in our lives, it's God first, but some of these other things can help us. And nearly always, I think, they've got that from the Bible. They've got that from the Bible. They've got that from the Bible. And it happens over and over again. So God expects us to grow in wisdom. Jesus himself, in the days of his flesh, the Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus grew in Luke 2:52. And he expects us to grow, because I've mentioned Proverbs 1:5. Let the wise man learn and add to his wisdom. So God expects us to grow. So for many, many years, whenever a visiting speaker came to church, we always had them round for supper at night, going back 20, 30 years ago. And they often stayed in our home anyway. Kids were shoved out of their beds. They stayed in the home. And some amazing things happened. Some of them are written in our book. Amazing things happened. Like when one of our kids was bursting for the toilet and one of the speakers was in a bath. I mean, how do you manage that when you've only got one toilet in your house? Like, it's interesting stuff. But I would say things like, what do you think we're doing that we shouldn't be doing? What do you think we're not doing that we should be doing? What are you reading? What do you think God's doing in our nation? What are you listening to? What's the best lesson you've learned recently as one of my new ones? Who do you think I should know that I currently don't know? Or be listening to that I'm not? How can I best prepare myself for the future? These are questions that we can learn from. And the reason for that is that people see things that we don't see. We've driven a lot of miles lately, and you all know that when you're in a motorway driving, before you overtake, you do what? You look over your shoulder, right? Because there's a blind spot. Well, some of the new cars have got, I haven't got one of them, but some of you have got one that's got a little red mark in it, or it makes a noise when somebody's passing. But if you haven't, you've got to look behind you. And countless times lately, I've looked behind me and I've thought, whoa, I never even saw that car there. Well, countless times. I've been back up and down England, up and down the north of Scotland, different places lately, and I've looked and I've thought, wow, I never even saw that car was there. And it's happened over and over again. So we all have blind spots. Our ministers in training seminar recently, Simon Jarvis was teaching, and he was teaching about leadership on the points of a compass. And he says, we all need people north, south, east, and west in our lives. And he says, north are people that's further ahead of you in different situations. So talk to people that are further ahead of you and learn from their wisdom. It's a great principle. A great principle. I never heard anybody say that before. I thought it's an amazing principle. You need people ahead of you in your life. And that's why that. You know, people can save us from car crashes. We can learn wisdom from other people. And we need humility in our lives to understand that and to embrace that and live that out in everyday life. Because Proverbs says, when pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 11:12. And before honor comes humility in Proverbs 15:33. So how do you flesh all these things out? We need wisdom. We need wisdom all the time. And if God chooses to bring blessing into our lives, then the challenge is that we think it's down to us. So God brings blessing, and we then think, well, we've got a measure of success or whatever. Then we go think, well, but no, it all came from him. It all came from him, and we give him the glory for what he's done. And so we look at the humility of Jesus and see how God did great things, and there's all kinds of things that we can learn in relation to that. I mentioned a scripture a few moments ago, wisdom builds a house. So your house, God's house, you need wisdom. Wisdom builds a house. By wisdom a house is built, Proverbs 24:3. And so The other side of it is foolishness brings it down. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. So have you ever been in a position, because many people have. I mean, there's a big scenario this week. A man is at a conference, a concert, and he puts his arms around about his HR person, and now he's resigned because of a lack of wisdom, because of a lack of integrity, because of what's going on in his world. And so taking him down, marriage is down, all these things have fallen apart. And so the Bible says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. So the integrity test, you know, like, we will be found out. So we think maybe, well, nobody will see us if we do that. And then you do it. And then you live your rest of your life wondering who saw you doing it. And if they saw you doing it. And life gets all complicated because of that. And so we need to ask ourselves front on, like, am I okay with taking this decision? What if I take this decision and all the intricacies of this was to be played out before everyone in public? Would my children be happy with picking up the newspapers to read about the decision I've just made? It's a big challenge in our lives, front on. And that's what the Bible says. We need wisdom and evangelism. The Bible says he that wins souls is wise. So God knows where the fish are. He says, cast your net on the right side. And then you win so many. So how do we get it? Why should we get it? Why? For the reasons I've given. Like, we need it. We need it so much. We can get it by reflection and thinking, or we can get it through experience. It's far better to learn from other people than to go through the stuff yourself. Far better to learn that way. And so Job says, but do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? Then he said, we've heard only rumors of where wisdom can be found. And then he goes on to say, God alone understands the way to wisdom. That's what Job said, one of the wisdom literature. So we've acknowledged that we need it. I need wisdom. You need wisdom. We all need wisdom. Let's acknowledge how much we need wisdom. And then we begin to go to with God and look to him. It's because Job says, yes, strength and wisdom are his. Deceivers and deceived are both in his power. He leads counselors away stripped of good judgment. Wise judges become fools. He removes the royal robes of kings. They are led away with ropes around their waist. He leads priests away stripped of status. He overflows those with long years in power. And he goes on to speak about all the different things that men do and all the scenarios of it. But it says, strength and wisdom are his. And all these other things can be going on in life. He's written a book. How cool. It's God's written a book. And he's told us, and he's full of wisdom. Better than any book that's ever been written anywhere in the whole world. Ever. And so we've got to have a reverence for him. Because it begins with the fear of the Lord. And then we have good people round about us who speak into our lives. We spend time with people of wisdom. He who walks with the wise grows wise. I've told the story multiple times. It's in our book. About a man I walked with at the factory. And his leg was taken off because of a train accident. And he used to walk down the factory, and he used to walk like this. Then he would walk like this. And before you ended up walking down the factory, you were walking like that as well. It was a great practical insight into how it would be. We can learn from life. Look around and observe. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:20, wisdom shouts in the streets. God spoke to me a while ago. And he says, live with your eyes open. Live with your eyes open. Last Saturday afternoon, I was down preaching in Dumfries, and different things different people had to do. I went for a walk around the lake at Loch Maven. And I was walking around with my eyes open. I was asking God to show me things. I was praying for the meeting at night, and I was asking God to show me things, because he told me to walk around with my eyes open. And I'll tell you, you can see things. You can see. I saw an ancient tree, like, hundreds of years old, and it was lying in bits. And you know what was in? When you saw the inside of it, where it had been dissected, it was rotten on the inside. There's a big life lesson there, isn't there? It's what's on the inside. It helps support what's on the outside. And God can speak to us. Oh, the band can come now. But we can learn. Here's instructions for our parenting. To discipline a child produces wisdom. And finally, you know, to ask Jesus into our lives, that's great wisdom. That's the best decision we can make in our lives. And maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. But God's offering us today great, amazing wisdom. Wouldn't you like that? I would like that. And so there was a time in my life when I bowed my knee and invited Jesus to come into my life. And I'm so thankful for the Bible. It's so full of wisdom that helps us in our day-to-day life. You know, we don't come to church just to learn doctrines and hear about faith. We want to learn stuff that we can apply to our 9-to-5. That you can switch a tap on at your work tomorrow morning if you're at work. Or you're raising your kids, you can say, I don't know what to do in this situation. You can say, God help me. And he helps us. How wonderful it is to have God in our lives helping us and guiding us and leading us. Father, this morning, we just want to thank you that you've given us a book full of wisdom. You've given us so many principles, and I've done my best to communicate some of that today, Lord, but there's so much more. Our toes are only in the water. There's so much more that you want to give us. We've shared from life experience, the life experiences of others, Lord. So many things there that can help us. And Lord, today where we need wisdom, we come to you afresh and say, Lord, will you give us wisdom? Will you give us insight? Will you give us understanding? Will you help us to take on board the provision that you've made in our day-to-day lives? And maybe you're here today.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.